I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, Marcus Thompson's going to join us from the Bay Area News Group. He covers the Warriors, has also written a number of books about the Warriors during this run of success. His latest one is on Kevin Durant, KD, and his relentless pursuit of greatness. We'll talk to Marcus coming up here on the show in approximately 35 minutes from now. All too easy, game number one victory by the Warriors last night. And the Portland Trail Blazers will have to perform at a far, far higher level to win even a game in this series, let alone four of them, or push the Warriors to the brink. Last night, far too many open shots for Steph Curry. Lethargic offense and defense. Poor shooting from the backcourt of Dame and CJ. And the Blazers went with a whimper last night in game number one. I will chalk that up to fatigue after an emotional game number seven in a tough series against Denver last round, which ended on Sunday, having a turnaround. Now play on the road on Tuesday night. I'll chalk that up for that. I'm not ready to bag on the Blazers that they can't win this series yet. It's only a game and it's a road loss. I'm not too worried about that part of it. I'm worried that that game plan last night stunk and that the Blazers have to crowd Steph Curry as much as possible, try to make his life a living hell, or else he is going to do that to you and you won't win a game. But the story of the night is the NBA draft lottery, which ends up getting won by the New Orleans Pelicans of all teams. Zion Williamson of the Zion Powerball goes to a city that has been absolutely devastated after that loss of the NFC Championship game, getting the old screw job for the cowardly NFL, whose officials were so bad they missed the most obvious pass interference call in league history. And then the league, because its leadership stinks, hid from that city because it was Super Bowl weeks. I'm not having it. New Orleans wasn't having it. And they got vindicated with some good old-fashioned voodoo, bringing in Zion with winning the lottery last night. I love it. You throw one of those Bourbon Street grenades in there. You throw some big slushy drink into that big cauldron. Maybe a muffalata in there as well. A few crawfish. You boil it up. And that little mixture, that little tincture, that little New Orleans voodoo cocktail sauce was bubbling since late January and brought in Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis's replacement, perhaps, in Zion Williamson. But here's the question. Could the addition of Zion actually help AD stay? I mean, think about it. Anthony Davis is desperately seeking a running partner to try to win championships. And I do not begrudge him at all. I do not blame him at all. I'd prefer when these guys leave on their own accord with free agency versus forcing a trade before it's over, before their contract has expired. And AD has gone down that road. But I do not begrudge him for wanting a winning situation. And he has given a significant amount of time to that organization to try to figure it out, and they have not been able to figure it out consistently. But seeing the development of Drew Holiday and knowing now that you have one of the most exciting college basketball stars to come out in years, well, now you actually have the makings of a team that could contend, because I am of the opinion Zion Williamson is going to be phenomenal in the NBA. Not good, not kind of good. I'm talking about perennial all-star and one of the most exciting playmakers in the league. Zion, for all of his dunking ability, which is what people want to watch and buy tickets for, Zion's court awareness is amazing. Zion's ability to work the boards, offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, his passing game, spatial awareness, basketball intelligence, all of that is not tied to his leaping, and he's brilliant at all of that other stuff as well. I think Zion's going to be phenomenal in the NBA, not because he can throw down a 360 windmill dunk. That's fun. That's exciting. But you know what? A little teardrop floater from 5 feet out is the same amount of points as a windmill 360 slam. Zion's going to be great. Zion has the passing acumen, the rebounding ability, the positioning and the footwork around the basket. He can create his own shot. He can set up somebody else's shot. He understands the spacing on a basketball floor. He's humble. He's grounded. He's coachable. He's a good teammate. Zion has everything and the sickest dunks we've ever seen. Man, if you're AD, you could do way worse than that as your running mate. Zion, AD, and Holiday, you could do way worse. Now, reports were last night that the demand for a trade has not changed, that Anthony Davis still wants out. But AD apparently doesn't want Boston, or that deal probably would have happened already. At the very least, his dad would not have said he doesn't want his son to play in Boston. Maybe AD wants to go to Los Angeles because of the weather, because of the beach, because of the glitz and glamour of the Los Angeles Lakers banners and franchise. Maybe he wants to play with LeBron. Maybe that's all the things that AD wants to do. But let me ask you, is playing with 35-year-old LeBron James for an organization that is on its third pick for its head coach, that has missed the playoffs for 6 years, is that a better solution than playing with a guy that you made the second round with in the playoffs and one of the best college players that we have seen in a decade, 2 decades? Are the Lakers a better solution than staying put and going with Zion? Is getting traded to Boston, a place that you don't want to be, assuming they lose Kyrie Irving in the offseason, and knowing that they would have to trade for you so all of these assets come with them, that all of these assets, young players and draft picks, are sent to the Pelicans, so you then join not a bear cupboard, but you're not joining the Celtics at full strength, especially if they don't sign Kyrie Irving. Is joining a team with Al Horford and Gordon Hayward and all the other pieces getting traded better than sticking around with Zion? I don't necessarily believe so. Maybe AD, the bridges are burned. Perhaps he just has already mentally checked out in New Orleans and wants to go somewhere else. But I think he would be wise to take a moment and really think about whether he's going to have a better situation elsewhere, even if it's for 1 year. Why not buy in? He's got 1 year under contract with the Pelicans. Buy in for 1 year and see how good Zion is. See what happens. Because then at least when you get traded, the team that you're going to wasn't just stripped of all of its assets. Why not stick around until the trade deadline at least to see what the Pelicans are with Zion? If I'm AD's advisors, I say, look, this could actually be a good situation with Zion here. And wherever you get traded to is going to be compromised because of all the pieces they got to give up. Let's see how it goes for a couple of months. And if it's bad, and if Zion looks like a bust, or it just doesn't work, and you're still bent out of shape, fine. You'll get traded the deadline. We know that. The Pelicans won't want to lose you for nothing. But if I'm AD's advisors, I say, let's just stay put for the time being, and let's assess in January. Last night, that Pelicans organization had the biggest infusion of energy of all time, because this is an organization that had become a laughingstock, knowing that they had to trade Anthony Davis. There was no hope on the horizon, a slow rebuild. Free agents weren't going to want to come. What was there to build around? And then last night happened. Here are the audio of the green room with Alvin Gentry, the head coach of the Pelicans, who has obviously been publicly scorned and humiliated through this whole thing. This was his reaction behind the scenes.
New Orleans.
Congratulations to New Orleans for winning the first pick in the 2019 NBA lottery.
Those are two beeps because he's going, bleep yeah, bleep yeah, and slapping everybody five that's in that green room. But the best reaction from the Pelicans was not Alvin Gentry, was not David Griffin, certainly was not Zion Williamson. It was the marketing department. This video made my night. Okay, I want you to envision this. This is a room of approximately 30 suits. Okay, these are all people in the sales department, ticket sales, marketing, etc., corporate sales. And it looks like the office. It's a bunch of people in middle management, in sales, basically trying to sell paper at Dunder Mifflin. They're around a conference room, and it's guys in ties and jackets and women in blouses, and it's just your average middle-of-the-road group of people that have to work in the same office together. We all have been there. And they have been downtrodden and kicked around because, again, how are they selling tickets and season ticket packages? How are they selling corporate sponsorships? How are they selling signage to Smoothie King Arena with no Anthony Davis? It was going to be tough. It was a dark run. The last couple of months, there were nothing but flies inside that arena. And here is their reaction as they learn they're winning the Zion sweepstakes. And as you hear this audio, imagine women hugging one another, openly crying, men in suits and ties jumping up on tables and chairs and absolutely melting down.
Grizzlies. Yeah!
That was not a bunch of drunk fans outside of Bourbon Street. That was not a Super Bowl parade. That was not an NBA Finals championship celebration. That was like 35 salespeople. It was amazing. That was like 35 sober salespeople that just lost their mind. That is essentially Will Ferrell showing up to the conference room in nothing but an American Speedo. These were people. It really was like the movie Office Party. Just meltdown city. My God, I'm telling you, in that sales department, there were so many inter-office hookups last night. They all went out to Bourbon Street. They all got liquored up. And definitely they all did the walk of shame this morning. Oh my God, I hooked up with Jill. Oh, no, not Jill. Ah, God, Jill's the crazy one in the accounting office. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, I made out with Brian. Ugh, I hate Brian. Ah, and isn't he married? Oh, yuck. You know that was last night. Hell, they probably went into the Pelicans ticket sales office and knocked it over like Lord of the Flies. They had torches, tikis burning, knocked over the potted plants, lit fire to all the old merchandise. To hell with 2018! To hell with 2019! 2020! Yeah! I could just imagine one of them stealing that Pelican mascot suit, getting in it, pouring shots of Jack Daniels for everybody inside the Pelican suit. I could see somebody kidnapping King Baby Cakes. Oh my God, there's King Baby Cakes. And he's in the break room. Ah, Zion! You got to see this video. These people absolutely lose their mind. It's like if Dunder Mifflin found out they had all won Powerball. It's so Ed Helms. There's women crying. It's so great. It's just working class America melting down. My second quarter is going to be amazing. I can finally afford the payment on the Stratus. No refinance for me. Honey, we can afford to put in the above ground pool this summer. Multiple jelly of the month clubs. Costco membership for everyone. The Pelican sales team. Oh, that is just great. I loved it. I need sales team cam. I have to have sales team cam. I absolutely, with every NFL draft and every NBA lottery, desperately desire and necessitate sales team cam. When we come back, soundcheck, your best audio of the day, including John Beilein on why exactly he took the Cavaliers job. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24-7.
I have no real will towards Damon Amendola.
Joe, I love you.
Damon. All the love, Damon.
All the love.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
25 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can always listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network and all of our wonderful affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM, channel 206. And on your phone, listen to us on the CBS Sports app, radio.com app, or Apple Music. Or watch us at watchda.com. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico this morning. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. Trevor in Bomb City tweets, DA, the Pelicans ticket office riot spilling out of Bourbon Street sounds like Lubbock after Texas Tech advanced to the national championship, minus people overturning their own cars. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, the reaction from the Pelicans marketing department reminds me of one of the office scenes from Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah, Leo DiCaprio bringing in the band. Yeah! And every one of them woke up this morning face into the pavement on Bourbon Street or sleeping with a lampshade on their head and a mouse pad over their face underneath their desk of the cubicle.
Oh my God. Oh, is this a 2005 LSU mouse pad that's in my mouth. Oh, God, my head. Oh, God. Wait a second. Who smashed my Les Miles mug? I love that mug. Oh, why am I wearing nothing but beads in my underwear?
Now, wait a minute.
What did I do last night?
Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Damian Lillard on the backcourt and the Blazers in general being suffocated yesterday, last night, by the Warriors' D.
Even when I was in isolation situations, I was seeing two and three people. So, you know, I think that was obvious, you know, that they were trying to make things hard for me just by making me see bodies and sending two guys at me sometimes. So I sometimes couldn't even get an attempt up, you know, even if I was trying to force it. But they did a good job tonight defensively.
And they normally do. I mean, the Warriors get a lot of credit for the best shooting backcourt ever. And they get a lot of accolades for their offense. But the Warriors' defense is really good. And what you have to do with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, if you're the Warriors, is lock down on those guys and let everybody else beat you. And guess what? The Blazers just don't have enough firepower outside of those guys to be able to run with Golden State. So it comes down to Dame and CJ. They've got to go off. Last night they did not. I will say that I absolutely loved Damian Lillard's clean athletics jersey walking into that arena. Dame is from Oakland. Lillard can walk home from Oracle Arena and walk it in with a clean, crisp A's jersey. Oh, it looked beautiful. Unfortunately, the game didn't go with it. Alvin Gentry, New Orleans Pelicans head coach, after winning Zion.
It's been a pretty good month, considering everything that we went through. But, you know, I think that just makes us stronger. And, you know, I still think we're going to have an organization that we're going to be sustainably good. And I think this obviously is a big step in that direction. You know, obviously we can't talk about picks right now, but we're going to get a really good player. You know, probably a guy that's going to be a generational player. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, overnight, the Pelicans went from one of the most irrelevant team to the NBA. The only thing that was relevant was how much they were going to get for Anthony Davis and where they were going to send him, to a team that immediately becomes a squad 20 times on national TV next year. I mean, that's the power of Zion Williamson. You're going to see 10 Pelicans games on ESPN and 10 Pelicans games on TNT. That is the power, because everybody is going to want to see Zion in his rookie season. Everybody. And Alvin Gentry now has a quote-unquote generational player, even if they trade away Anthony Davis, and then all of the assets that they'll get from trading away AD if he does not want to stay. And finally, John Beilein could have been coaching Zion, but the Cleveland Cavaliers also did not win the sweepstakes last night. Why did the Michigan head coach take the Cavs?
It didn't take me that long, but there was a lot of consideration in that. I'm just, where we are today is what the best thing to talk about right now. This is really great to be a part of this. You know, we got the fifth pick in the draft. We got the 26th pick in the draft. We're in great shape. Okay, good returning players. We're in great shape.
And no, the Cavs are not in great shape. Colin Sexton is not a foundational player that you build around. The fifth pick of this draft might be, but that's unlikely. It's usually not how it goes down in the NBA draft. And there's not a lot of depth on the Rocket or on the Cavaliers roster either. So John Beilein left because he got more money. We don't know exactly how much, but we know he got more money. And Beilein might have said, hey, I'm 66 years old. Let me try my hand at the NBA because I'm never going to get another shot at this. And perhaps he's also saying, you know, I'm in the college basketball game where a lot of programs are cheating. I played in a national championship game and lost to a team that had to take down its banner. So I was robbed in some ways of a national championship. I'm trying to do things the right way. College basketball is a cesspool. You know what? Not for me. mean, let's face it. That's a guy that has been without scandal every place that he's ever gone. He's played in two national championship games, and he's watching the premier programs all get jammed up because most of them, if not 99% of programs, are cheating. And maybe he's just sick and tired of that. When we come back here on the show, let's talk about Kevin Durant. I mean, can this Warriors team actually win a championship if KD never steps on the floor again for Golden State? They look good the last two games without him. We'll talk to Marcus Thompson coming up here on the show, who covers the Warriors and has written a book about KD, next.
Too much fun with audio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Sanchez.
Sanchez.
Yo, Sanchez, start it up.
Man, it's not
Sanchez,
working.
Sanchez, we ready?
Nope.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Sanchez! Yeah! Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Wednesday to you. Hit me up on social media, on the Twitter machine. It's DA on CBS. Follow us on our Facebook page as well here on the show. Facebook.com/TheDA Show. All too easy last night for the Golden State Warriors taking game number one. Candy from a baby against the Portland Trail Blazers, even without Kevin Durant. Our next guest is a senior columnist for The Athletic. He covers the Bay Area for The Athletic. He's also the author of a new book about Kevin Durant called KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. Joining us here on the show, he's joined us before, Marcus Thompson. Marcus, good morning.
What's up?
How you
Thanks
doing,
for
man?
Having me on.
You got it. My pleasure. How you doing?
Man, it's not often I'm up before the sun, but this is pretty good. I like this.
All right.
I actually like it. It's sweet.
What was your reaction to the Pelicans winning the Zion sweepstakes last night?
I mean, to be honest, I felt like it's more riveting if they just rigged it for the Knicks. I was like, come on, man, really? Really, that's what we're doing? Like, Zion to the Pelicans and Ja to Memphis?
It's
like,
a pretty,
what is this like?
It's pretty good evidence
like
that the
government bailout or something.
It's pretty good evidence the NBA is not rigging it, right?
Absolutely, right. Maybe that's what they were doing, trying to show that they don't rig the draft, and came up with this and rigged it so it looks like they don't rig it. Look, small markets, go for it. All power to you. But we typically see what happens in this day and age when a guy spends 7 years in a small market. Eventually, he's like, yeah, let me try somewhere else, especially like New Orleans, right? It's like, come on. I mean, they've been struggling to just stay open for a while. So
yeah.
I hope it works, but it would have been so much a much more riveting summer if Zion was in New York. I would agree with that.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up a guy like Kevin Durant or Zion Williamson leaving a small market for something else like KD did a couple of years ago to leave for the Bay Area. In your book, you describe him as a sensitive guy, as a vulnerable guy. Did he not expect to become hated or disliked or polarizing? Did he not expect that reaction?
I think he did. I just don't think you really know until you feel it, right? I think he knew like he'd be criticized. He watched LeBron get criticized for, you know, the decision. And I think maybe part of him thought like, all right, people kind of got over that. But I think once he felt it, it was like, yo, I didn't know it was like this. And on top of that, too, I think this is pretty important. Like, this was also his first time having that much attention on him. Like, he's never had the whole basketball world picking him apart like that. Like, he was just, you know, we knew he was a great player. We knew he was a great scorer and a humble guy. And basically everybody kind of left it at that. But when he made that decision, he became a historic figure in NBA history, which means everybody had to have an opinion on him. And I don't know, I think that kind of jarred him a bit. There's no way he knew how that would feel going in, and I think it definitely surprised him.
Author Marcus Thompson joins us here on the show. When LeBron went to Miami, he said that first year he felt all that negativity and hate, and he kind of draped himself in it, and he kind of became a villain and had to embrace being a villain. It was almost like Luke Skywalker going to the dark side, you know, feel the hate, Luke. Did it change Kevin Durant to feel all that negativity? Did he become a different guy?
I think I think, I don't know if it he became a different guy. I think it liberated him to just be who he is, right? And I think he spent so much time in Oklahoma City trying to be the good guy, right? Wanting to make sure he held up his image as the kind of anti-superstar. He was humble. He did a lot of community service. He used to not even curse publicly, right? He told his Bible in his backpack. He was just really playing up the kind of all shucks, good old boy, like, you know, a humble kid, right? And I think once he became scrutinized and once people were attacking him, I think it freed him to say, look, y'all going to get all of Kevin Durant now. And sometimes that means I might be firing back at you, right? Sometimes that means me questioning how y'all operate. So he even said it. He said it like that was me being fake. Now y'all getting the real me. So I do feel like this was always there. But now because we're paying so much close attention and now he's feeling like, you know, I'm under attack anyway, so I might as well be me. We get to see the whole person, and he's pretty complex.
What's your takeaway from how well the Warriors have played in the last two games without KD?
Well, number one, you know, Portland's not exactly a sturdy foe, right?
Right.
I don't know if we can get a good measure from that, but also, like, the Warriors have a style of play that we know works, and Steph Curry is no slouch, right? This dude is a two-time MVP, and that kind of gets lost because he spent so much time off the ball and he sacrifices a lot. But it looked like old Steph. It looked like the former MVP who everything was centered on him. And for a flash period, right, for a game here and there, for a series, like that's still great, right? It works wonders. Now you got to wonder, like, how does it work over the long haul? And the way the roster is set up now, that's probably not a sustainable outlook, but they would have to, like, retool the bench and all that. But it worked like crazy. Like, that's where we're like, yeah, this dude is pretty good. He did win two MVPs in the championship before Durant got there.
You know, with the new Chase Center opening up next year, this gleaming new downtown San Francisco Palace, the Warriors want to still be contenders. They want to be great. And so if Kevin Durant does leave, does that mandate that front office is going to make sure they don't let Klay Thompson leave as well and kind of keep the band together as much as possible, re-signing both Klay and Draymond in your mind?
I feel like at this point, either way, it's kind of got to be that way, right? Like if Kevin Durant stays, can they now start penny pinching and be like, well, Klay, we can't afford you, and kind of break it up that way, especially with no way to, like, because they were so far over the cap, it doesn't even matter. They can't go get another player to fill his place. They can't go get a cheaper version of Klay, right? They got a minimum salary that they can go get somebody. So they kind of, if Kevin Durant comes back, it's kind of got to be like, well, let's go for it again. Let's try to win six of them, right? That's why he would come back. And if he leaves, they definitely kind of bring everybody back, right? Like, they can't. That would be the worst absolute time to say, all right, let's kind of rebuild. So they would have to, you know, probably have to max out Klay, give Draymond a huge contract, and then figure out a way to build around them. So I don't see any way around it. Plus, this owner, Joe Lacob, since he bought the team, he's been talking as if money is not a thing, and he has really lived up to it. He said he will spare no expense. This is the Bay Area. It's $4,000 for rent. Like, nobody wants to hear that we don't have the money thing. So I don't see why he would start now. And I don't think money is a deterrent for him. They will be printing money in that fancy new arena they have.
Marcus Thompson joins us. He's the Athletics Bay Area columnist. He has written a book, KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. Is it weird for you to see the Warriors become hated? I mean, forever, the Warriors were kind of like the plucky, fun team that never won anything, and now suddenly they're the most hated team because they're a machine. It's got to be bizarre for you.
Man, the whole thing is really bizarre because I grew up here, right? So the Warriors were just irrelevant. Like, they weren't even anything. Like, nobody cared. I remember when I went to school in Atlanta and I put up my Latrell Sprewell poster, and I had a couple people from, like, New York and Georgia in my room, and they was like, who is that? I'm like, Latrell Sprewell, what do you mean, who is that? They're like, who do you play for? I'm like, man, the Warriors. They're like, where do Warriors play? And I'm like, what? They didn't even know where the Warriors played. So, like, they've gone from irrelevant to, like, cute and fun, and, like, they had all that team chemistry, and they were fun to watch, and they were a league pass team, to, like, champions, to, like, the worst thing that's ever happened to basketball. Like, it's all happened in, like, this 5-6 year span. It's kind of crazy.
You know, I almost feel like it's disrespectful to ask you about Kevin Durant's intentions this summer, because I don't think anybody really knows, no matter how well you know him. But I'll ask
you
this.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, I'll ask you this in terms of framing it against the Warriors, since you know him well enough and the context of the Warriors. Do you think Kevin Durant desires a fresh start or a new challenge aside from what he's already accomplished with the Golden State Warriors?
Oh, I definitely think that is, you know, on his radar, right? I think that's definitely something that he's been pondering, that maybe even he wants, right? I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. I feel like Kevin Durant is in this position that he really worked hard to get to and really wanted to be, that he just has all the options. Like, he is the chief free agent. Remember his first free agency? Like, he signed that thing on the low and posted it on Twitter, right? He kind of avoided all of the fanfare. Now he's like, yo, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am, right? So this is the perk. He gets to have everybody salivate over him, everybody plan their whole futures around him. So I do think a large part of it is him, like, checking out what all the options are. Some of them sound really good. If he does leave the Warriors, I think what he does, the decision he makes, will tell us what he values, right? If he does leave, you know he's like legacy hunting, right? You know he's looking for a chance to kind of get the taste out of people's mouths about the move he made and the controversy it caused. And if he stays, you know he's just like, all right, I'm coming for you, Kobe, right? I'm coming for you, MJ. Let's try to get 6 rings. Let's win like crazy. So I don't think we know where he will go, but what he decides will let us know exactly what matters to him the most. But I think all of it is on the table.
Marcus Thompson's a senior columnist for The Athletic, covering all of the Bay Area. He's written about the Warriors for a long time, so this book is really interesting. Father's Day is coming up, so it's a good chance to get a book about basketball for dad or for yourself. Author of the book, KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest, from Marcus Thompson, available. Marcus, this is a lot of fun. I appreciate you getting up when it's dark for us, especially after a game last night, my man. So thank you so much for doing it.
Oh, man, you made it fun. So it was worth it. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Marcus Thompson, joining us this morning here on the show. I have a lot of thoughts on Kevin Durant, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. By the way, it's golf's next major, the world's best eye, the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy, and Tiger shoots for back-to-back majors. His 16th overall, the PGA Championship, this weekend on CBS. CBS Spectacular, yeah! I think Kevin Durant is a great basketball player, and that much is obvious no matter who his teammates are. And playing on the Warriors has only elevated the spotlight on how great he is. And he has certainly taken his game to the next level in these NBA Finals and the playoffs, and he was incredible, unguardable, with this run again in the postseason. But I absolutely believe that Kevin Durant cannot be ranked with guys like Michael Jordan or guys like Larry Bird or Magic Johnson or guys like LeBron James. I don't think you can do that because his greatest moments have come on an unbelievable super collection talent of a team. And that, what is Kevin Durant without Steph Curry? Well, Kevin Durant was a one-time NBA Finals guy, and he had Russell Westbrook and James Harden on that team. Kevin Durant consistently fell short of the ultimate goal of the NBA Finals by losing 4 times to the Western Conference Finals. And in his biggest stage in the NBA Finals against LeBron and company, he did not take home the hardware. And now that he has the hardware, I don't think historically you can put him in that conversation with those other guys. I mean, did they all have talent around them? Sure. But there is nothing that any of those guys had, which resembles what this Warriors team was, which was a team that was ready-made to already win a championship, had done it already, and had just won 73 freaking regular season games without him. Michael didn't join the Bulls after they had won a championship and had won 72 games. He was the core because of it. LeBron didn't join the Heat after they had won a title without him. There was no way just Bosh and Dwayne Wade would win a championship without LeBron. There's no way the Celtics, there's no way those Lakers teams, as great as Kareem and James Worthy were, that Magic made that happen. And you just can't compare this. I mean, Kevin Durant can win another title this year with them, but does this team look like they need Kevin Durant to win a championship? Of course not. And they didn't need him before. They did it. They did it without him. They won 73 games, which is why he's an elite player, but you just can't put him in that conversation until he leaves and does it somewhere else.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.